Okay. I'll be back in a minute.
You're going to be back in a minute? All right, so let's start. I guess we can just start without Katrina. Broadcast. Switch to live. And
your disc in and ready to go?
Yeah, the disc is actually recording.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we monitor. Hello, everybody out there in Is Good Radio. We are setting up our show. And we're hoping to hear ourselves soon.
Let's see. Are we talking? Are we broadcasting?
I don't know. We're supposed to be. We are definitely recording.
Let's see. Are we talking?
There we go. There's the delay.
Broadcasting.
All right. Okay. So, this is Good Radio. Oh, and there I am. There we go. Okay, this is Good Radio on what, Thursday, the 19th of March. If I can do a little bit of water cooler banter, I can't believe how quickly the year is going by. Like, really quickly. We are recording before. This is what's left on Is Good Radio with Greg and
Steve.
And
special guest, Katrina.
Yes. There you go. And in a few hours, I guess it's already on the air right about now on the East Coast. Obama's doing the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
That's the one drawback.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
I heard it went well.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Your friends at the network?
No. Yeah, no. I wasn't. Yeah, my big friends at NBC.
Steve was there.
I was there.
Yeah, the satellite feed.
No, he was actually there in the studio.
I was in the studio.
That's how cool he is.
I told him what to say.
Yeah, you coached him.
I did.
He needed some coaching.
Yeah.
I'm glad you helped him out.
Yeah, it was all right.
So, so this show does not have the benefit of being a reaction or incorporating that into the weekly political discussion.
He pretty much reiterated what he'd been saying all week, which is that he was shocked by the AIG bonuses, and he's going to do everything he can to recoup them.
Right.
And that people should be confident. I mean, it's the basic message being delivered.
The one that he's campaigning on.
That people should feel confident.
Do you think that we don't know that AIG people are trying to give the money back, or that they're not trying to give the money back?
Some are.
But I mean, that's all I hear. It's like some or a few or whatever.
We're not clear exactly what's going to happen.
But don't you feel like we should be hearing that everyone gave that money back?
Well, this is one of those moments where I'm glad I live in a democracy instead of in a kingdom. Let us say this is a moment where, this is the kind of moment where Marie Antoinette and her friends lost their heads. And that it's that lack of perspective that we're dealing with right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And we just hope for these people to kind of wake up and understand that, you know, they were in industries that were essentially supposed to be serving people, not the other way around. And unfortunately, the equation's gotten shifted really, really, really tremendously.
And there are a lot of people who live in, what, London or the UK? One of the AIG offices is actually in the UK, which is another reason why they couldn't not pay the money, because they weren't actually U.S. citizens, and so they didn't fall under the same kind of parameters of tax issues with being given money and stuff.
Biggest problem is Mr. Dodd's Senator Chris Dodd. Okay. I'll give him benefit of his full title as long as he keeps it. But that's a pretty big deal.
Chris Dodd, 2 years ago at this time, believed he could be president of the United States.
Yeah.
He ran for president.
And we talked about it.
Yeah, that's right. Could you imagine Senator President Dodd?
And wasn't he going to be vice president to Hillary for a while there?
No, that was Vilsack.
Okay.
That was my pick for Hillary was Vilsack, and everyone was like, she can't have a guy named with Sack in his name.
God, and speaking of Hillary, it always reminds me of the Republican brickbats, and they're certainly throwing them now. Even about this this Obama appearance on Leno is being seen as some kind of target for them. They're going crazy.
If it wasn't for the fact that the Republicans were going through their worst period as a party, Obama would be really in trouble.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the gap between his popularity and the Democrats in Congress.
Yeah, because I mean, even those Dems are going crazy on him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, do you guys want to just go straight into the obvious story of the week, which is AIG?
I'm so sick of it. Can we not talk about that?
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. Like, they can't even muster up the energy to be outraged because they're, like, so tired.
Oh, my God.
Else already.
Can I hear about, like, the Sudan or something right now?
Well, that's that's true. Hillary had a very big statement on Sudan that she they threw out all the aid workers and then all the. I mean, there's a lot of she could be a paper tiger if we don't follow up, or the U.S. could be perceived as a paper tiger if we don't follow up on her rhetoric. But
Named an envoy. I mean, that's something.
That's true.
That's a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. George Clooney broke that news.
Yeah, he didn't.
He did.
No, he asked for it, didn't he? With Ann Curry or something, he like asked for one, and then all of a sudden we heard there was one.
It seemed like it was something that he asked for, but he walked out of his meeting with Obama and announced that this was going to happen.
Oh,
so we're not sure exactly what the exact order of events was.
Didn't realize it came down like that.
Yeah.
Go George.
But George and Obama, they're real tight.
Well, didn't Clooney skip the Academy Awards to chill with the 44th president of the United States?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, he knows the difference between show business and politics.
The slight. This is the only part I want to bring
slight difference. Is there a difference?
Well, there are moments where there is no difference.
George Clooney's going to run for president soon, so get ready.
Well, I think it was James Carville that said, it may not have been him who said that politics is Hollywood for ugly people.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
it's true.
Right.
That's why we do a radio show.
Uh-huh.
Because we're so beautiful, we have to hide our faces.
We've got faces for radio.
That's right.
The only part I want to bring up on AIG is just the politics of it. Forget the outrage. And I don't even know how it's going to unfold, but they knew in advance, they meaning everybody in Congress, knew that this sort of thing was coming. It had happened under Bush. Or the intention of it had started back in November or something. And definitely, regardless of the conflicting reports, definitely the White House knew on Thursday, a week ago today, and then they orchestrated, because they're smart, the breaking of the story. They knew it was going to come out on Monday, so they broke it so that it would be on all the Sunday talk shows. But, I mean, I don't see it getting traction, but the notion that they knew and saved their outrage for the perfect timing is just so, from the president that was supposed to change everything.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like another situation where they just kind of, they totally missed the boat. I mean, it's like exactly what they're saying they're not trying to do, and then it happens. It's like the tax stuff.
I mean, and of course, I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, it is incredibly naive for anybody to think that we're going to sit here and think, oh, they didn't know what was going on. This stuff was. I mean, this stuff was discussed in many levels of the government. It was clear to people that it had to remain in for very logical reasons, but I think that. They could have foreseen the reaction, given the climate.
How could they not stop this from happening in the first place?
Yeah.
Such a contracted thing that AIG couldn't not do it?
Those are the
point. Like if you're on the verge of collapse, and I come to you and say, okay, I know you have existing contracts, but here's the deal.
Right.
Your other options are to simply implode. Or you can play by my rules.
Right.
Here's a check, but these are my rules.
Right.
I don't understand.
I kind of thought that's what
and actually,
we did.
But that was a problem. That the language, the teeth for no
no bonuses
there,
if you accept mm-hmm.
and until Mr. Dodd, removed this.
Okay,
language.
So there's.
But I can't believe that he operated in a vacuum. That's my problem.
Let's stay on the first level because I do want to get to Dodd removing. The teeth of that provision from whether it was the stimulus bill or whether it was the second tranche.
He was said to have done so at the behest of the
Treasury Department. But before we discuss the horrible politics of that, is the notion that, because you guys just touched on it, the first thing that you said was it's a contract. For various legal purposes, we had to honor it. And Katrina's like, it's the meltdown of the economy. How do you have to address, why can't you renegotiate contracts? Like, that seems to be the compete. And that's all I hear from the man on the street, so quote-unquote man on the street, all around. It's like, why couldn't they... It, all of a sudden, it took AIG to make the American... Was it the United Auto Workers... seem sympathetic.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, those guys are, like, you know, giving up.
Maybe that was the point.
Right?
I'm sorry. I hate to jump all over the place, but now it is coming to light that so many of the companies that have received bailout money are also in arrears with their taxes.
Yeah.
Even though they have signed statements to the contrary, which constitutes a pretty major crime.
Mm-hmm.
So those CEOs who signed up on that are going to have some interesting consequences, too.
Agreed. See, for me, the politics of AIG is what is, and that type of thing, is what is the most important thing right now. And Obama seems to be so amazingly popular that just getting out on the road and doing, maybe because we're in California and we know he's here, I don't know, it just seems like this is just bouncing off of him. And
yeah, I think it depends on where you are. I think here in California, because he just got here and everybody's so hyped up to see him, I think
right. It's
a little bit, the AIG stuff, and because it's been a week of AIG overload,
right,
that I think people are kind of maxing out on it. He's here, he's on Jay Leno, woo-hoo, you know, it's all fun. But I think if you go anywhere further east, it's still a pretty big deal. And it's still a big deal. It's going to be a big deal next week.
Because all of this is a stew of really bad things that he is supposed to change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no arguing that the fundamental direction of his big, gigantic blueprint for the economy and for the treasury, like, you know, the federal direction of the federal spending is change, dramatic change. But what's not there is the no-brainer change. And that goes straight to the heart of Dodd removes the teeth from the language because the Treasury Department asked him to.
Now we need to know who in the Treasury Department asked him to do this and why.
Never before have I seen I can say it one way one week and the next week. I don't have to be consistent. All of a sudden, I think the press secretary's got a job for life because he's done a great job this week.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs or whatever his name is.
He's coming through.
He's done Secretary
Gibbs.
Yeah,
yes.
And Tim Geithner's out. I think that they have to hang Tim Geithner in a couple of months, unless it can.
I don't know. I think he's kind of, you know, he's up and down.
So far, Obama's sticking by him. He stood by his man on Leno.
And he said some okay things, but I'll give you this week wasn't his best week either.
I see that this came from the Treasury Department, and the White House is gonna cut him free.
Well, it may have to happen out of necessity.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Because it's like it's either that or the rock keeps creeping up to the...
Yeah. Who else is going to take the job, though?
Well, that's when you have to get a blue chip, a really solid blue chip person to replace him. The thing about...
The blue chips are all getting bailed out right now, though.
Yeah.
Who's a blue chip?
And they don't know, and none of these people...
Jimmy Carter?
No. Back in the day, Sam and I used this completely politically incorrect term to describe what Democrats need to win elections and what Republicans need. And we use this, it's completely incorrect, but we call them Toms. Democrats needed financial Toms to say the Democrats are cool, and Republicans needed social Toms to say that they're not so mean. Like, that was how they sold their message with these, like, you know, and Clinton had them. He had all these Wall Streeter guys that said, no, he's all right. Like, we can be Democrats and run Goldman Sachs. You know, and so the problem is that's not working any longer because Tim Geithner is so glued into New York the Fed in New York,
mm-hmm,
that engineered some of the bad bailouts in September and October. It's just, it's all bad.
And that's been a problem from day one.
Yes.
People have been picking up on that from the very, very beginning and not happy, and this is and it seems like a manifestation now.
Yes, and now it's too easy to sell a story to the public that seems like it has a beginning, middle, and end. There's this guy who's beholden. Look at what he did when he was in New York, you know, in the Fed
branch
in New York. I mean, like, it's just terrible for them politics-wise, and then someone in the Treasury said, don't remove the teeth from that.
Who in the Treasury and who told them? The chain of command must be revealed.
I think, I really can't wait to see the Obama thing tonight, because my take on it is there's an argument to be made that is we would have lost in court. So you want to pay $160 million plus legal fees, and you know that the people who are getting these bonuses aren't going to get a $250 an hour lawyer. They're going to get like a $1,000 an hour lawyer. Do you want to pay that and go through that and not get the money back?
And we'd be paying for that lawyer too.
Exactly.
So
that's the legal. that's the logical argument, except for the fact that they could have legislated themselves into not having to, you know, go to court. And they didn't. And
well,
that
here's the thing. It's theoretical now. So here's the fact. There's a mess on the floor, and it's got to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I know.
And that's really what's going to be interesting to me.
In the realm of that, today the House passed something. You can tell nothing's going to happen, by the way. The House passed a bill that said 90% of it can be recouped through punitive taxes directed straight at
already.
That was such an amazing way to get around this whole thing, I thought. Yeah. 90% tax or something?
Well, the Senate passed something. It was 35% excise tax on the company that gets the bailout, which I don't understand how that's going to work at all.
Get back the money you just gave them?
Yeah, that keeps them alive.
Right.
And then 35% of the bonus, which I was like, 35% of $1 million, while a lot of money, is still only 35% of $1 million.
It's not
90% I can live with.
And there were a few bonuses that were actually $6 million.
Yeah. There were 11 bonuses that went out to people who don't work for the company anymore.
Yeah, we left the company.
Good lawyer. I'm a good lawyer.
I still just don't, but I come back to, these are people who understand this situation and are taking this money. I mean, now I understand people are strapped in this country, but I would venture to guess these people are not that strapped. And for...
Not if their bonuses, which represent a portion of the
income.
Right.
No, it depends on...
Are in the millions.
Right, but of course now, you know, everyone's saying these bonuses aren't really bonuses because they're kind of required part of their salary or something.
Right.
So they're not a bonus in the way we would think of a bonus.
Yes. Right.
So that's part of the argument that they had to give it.
My brief exposure to bonuses in financial institutions like those... Well, that's an insurance, but they had a bunch of... These are a lot of derivative traders. Is that you get a base that's a decent salary, but not for the high style of living that you choose to live.
Right.
And it's all a big, giant bonus that you get in some form.
Right, and this structure is apparently very common.
Yeah, so to call it a bonus is a little disingenuous in certain circumstances, because it was a deal someone made. I'll work for 6 figures, but I really should be getting 7 figures.
Again, I need that work. I need that lawyer.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Are we through with that day and age? No, we're not again.
No.
That's the other part, is that as all of us sit there and try and figure out how we're getting through this, there's a bunch of people who have chosen not to give up a damn thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Including 7 figures.
Well, I mean,
that's right.
I don't begrudge anyone their wealth. I think that it depends on who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Someone like this, who is at the root of the problem.
Right.
Right.
I'm sorry, he's under a microscope right now.
Right. I mean, they're getting death threats. Did you hear that one about the piano wire?
I'm not surprised. Again,
I'm not either.
The peasants are at the gates with pitchforks, and they're still eating cake and playing around in powdered wigs. Figure it out, guys.
Right.
Well, the part about that I find significant is when I heard about the death threats, actually the main thing I found significant was, I was like, good for them. And then I was like, wait a second.
Good for who?
What did you just say?
I was like, They deserve death threats.
I'm not surprised that's happening. I don't think anybody deserves a death threat. But
then I realize,
you know, it's I mean, that's serious. I mean, in real terms. But you know, there is a part of course, of all of us suggest they should commit suicide too.
Oh, I know. The Republican, it was Grassley. Grassley said they should do the Japanese.
Of course, we knew he was speaking figuratively, but I got it. We can have a little irony here.
But the significance of that is that the wave of dissatisfaction that carried Obama to the White House is not being satisfied. People are still angry. You could placate this population and say the rich always get away with it, but they're still, the anger is continuing. It's on. If you look at it as a curve, it keeps going up.
Because I think it's a great corrective. And it's forcing these boobs in Washington to function.
But the problem is, some of those boobs are Obama's people.
So what?
Right.
Well,
I mean,
a lot of them.
I guess I'm a little different from everybody else. I didn't think it was going to be that different because I know better.
Right.
I'm happy that he's the president, but I was not naive enough to think that he was going to usher in an era of bliss and harmony. These are still human beings.
No, and it takes a while to get to bliss and harmony.
It does, and it takes work.
If we ever get there.
And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Because I my feeling, though, because I've been thinking about this a lot, is like, the man will probably still go down as a great president. I think he's going to be shaped by these tremendous forces, which, you know, once again, we're spending a lot of time trying to assign blame, and God knows there's probably enough to go around everywhere. Even as individuals, we're part of this process, living on credit, blah, 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 blah. I mean, credit well beyond what one can write a check for and satisfy at the end of the month, which means you're living beyond your means if you're doing that. So it's a culture. We're back to that deleveraging word. The culture is still, you know, there's so much air being let out of all this madness, and it's going to take a while. So I don't know whether I want to keep, as I said last week, I don't want to keep throttling him and blaming him and his regime for everything and expecting the world to change overnight. But I think things will happen. I think what's the move to buy up all those mortgage-backed assets has been effective.
Yeah.
And very quickly so.
Well, this is where I come down on.
And we're still at week 8, so I have to keep reminding people.
I know.
And it's not the week 8 or the pace of change that my big thing is. I'm staring at 2010, and right now it's leaning Republican, which is the worst thing for true change.
I don't know. I think that's jumping the gun. I really do. Again, week 8.
No, but this is the reason why it's changing, it's going in that direction to me, or reason why I'm worried about 2010, and that is they removed the teeth from the bill. If there would have been any striking difference between the Bush administration and the Obama administration, or the Obama administration and some of the tendencies, the pacifying tendencies of the Bill Clinton administration, which would have gone along with removing the teeth from the legislation, because that's how they played the game. That to me, that is the emblem of change. That is the, you know, everyone was sick of Bush and his cronies, and here's the chance to put a clear marker in the sand. Here's a chance where this week they could have said, we would have normally paid out $160 million under George Bush to AIG people, but we didn't do that. And that's, I think that's why, I'm not talking about the pace of change and how enormous the problems are. I just think that those things and the earmarks and Dodd, and let's face it, Nancy Pelosi is not a sympathetic figure.
No.
All are leaning towards losing the House and Senate in 2010, which is
too
huge.
You have to wait. You have to give it time.
Yeah, give it some time. Here's what surprises me about all this. Is that the executive branch right now has its hands so tied behind its back. And I think it's not just, you know, what has recently happened in the legislature, but what has accumulated up to this point in the legislature and in business and the markets and all this. And it's really interesting to me the fact that you really, as the executive, you cannot change this kind of stuff overnight. And it's going to be a messy business to try to put that rock in the sand and change the course of the future. It's not easy. And so, and you can see that just by AIG. For some reason, there is a contract that is stronger than an executive order.
Or common sense.
Or common sense. And they, I mean, I'm sure they would have changed it if they could have changed it. It's like, I mean, I just think it must be so crazy. I mean, what kind of situation would make it such that the president could not say no to it? But that's what just happened this week.
Right.
You know, a situation said no to the leader of the free world.
We have to remember that our culture definitely and definitively favors property and business.
Right. And look how well it's done it.
Yes.
Look how well.
From the very beginning. I mean, let's face it. I mean, our origins in separating from England are based in financial
right.
Financial reasons from the beginning.
I agree with you.
You know,
but
and the sort of liberties were the basically aristocrats assuming the rights of kings for themselves,
right.
And this stuff trickled down over the centuries. But you know, it's in our DNA.
I agree with you, but what you just described is akin to looking at that Shepard Fairey poster of Obama and just seeing the paint drip off, like run down, wash off in the rain.
Well, I see. Here's how I would say it's possibly not. I mean, I see what you're saying, definitely. But if the American people are seeing this situation as Jesus, even the president can't
but they're not.
Do what we can do. Well,
they're seeing this as, oh my God, baseball like the other guy.
I haven't seen enough of public polling to see if that's actually true or not. But I think his approval rating is still very high.
It's high. It's
and
high
I think people are
yeah.
still hoping that he's doing what he can, true. But it's just going to take a while to chip away at the stone.
That's true. I mean, I think that we are dealing with cataclysmic events that are beyond anything we've seen in our lifetime.
That's separate. And are on the brink
of depression. AIG. I think AIG is a part of that. I don't see how you can separate AIG from that.
Because AIG, because there was legislation reported that would have stopped this from happening. That is separate. That is the beginning to hack away at the massive problems. Is keeping that damn thing in the legislation that would have stopped these friggin' bonuses. I mean, my question is, and not to make.
But you know, the thing is that people's bonuses have been paid in bailouts before. These just became an issue.
I have a good friend, and I don't like to quote it because
like this is the only set of bonuses that have been paid by our tax.
I agree with you, and I hate to quote this my friend too often, but I have a friend who said I think the Merrill Lynch bonuses were way worse. That was his response to me when I asked him a question about it. So I agree with you 100%.
You see what I'm saying? It's just it's the timing. Because those things were controversial. People got upset about it. Mm-hmm. You know, heads rolled. Things changed.
And it is
sort of.
It is approaching tax time as people are filing their taxes.
And we all feel it. Because we're about to write checks in some cases.
Many people are going to write checks.
Are going to other people to accumulate into millions of dollars to pay for this.
I'm not paying mine. I've been taught not to.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you can use the.
I think the great, you know, the examples.
By the high holy people in our political world. They taught me not to. I'm going to tell my dad that. I love that.
By the way, as a liberal or whatever we want to call me. Because we do have listener feedback.
Left?
We do have a listener, yes.
Can we call you left?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
No, let's do listener feedback a little later on.
Look at that teaser.
Yeah, it's torturous.
Listener feedback is awesome.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is, as a liberal, all I do is claim my one deduction that the government gives us, and I pay the rest. And I'm so happy that, well, now I'm throwing it into a big, giant black hole. But in the past, I felt like I was building bombs.
No, you're paying AIG bonuses.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, I
feel
like
Lynch bonuses and lots of others that you can't list right now.
I feel like when I pay my taxes, it's like going to, you know, when you go to a dinner and there's like 10 people at the table and the bill goes around, and you've got like $5 and the bill's like $1,000. Like, that's how I feel
you're
my
like,
taxes
sorry.
Are. Yeah, my money is going into
I
the federal
know I
government.
I more than everybody, but here's my
$5.
But that's how I think about these freaking people on Wall Street. I think they're the ones that are doing that.
They should pay our taxes.
They should pay our taxes for another, until we're died.
So you mentioned it before, and it automatically, like today had an effect. The Treasury, Fed Chairman Bernanke, announced or purchased $1 trillion.
$1 trillion
of mortgage of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgage, whatever. I might get them backwards. Mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
By printing money.
Right.
And it's a loop. He's buying it from the same government that he's the central bank for.
But it's working.
But immediately it dropped interest rates like 0.3. Like it went from 5.02 to 4.68 or something like that. And they expect it to go lower. Mm-hmm. Although the markets finally had a reaction to it today. Went, oh, shit. The dollar is going to be really
money.
Weak, yeah. And the Dow went down a tiny bit after its little rally.
Yeah.
First of all,
have to know when to stop this process because at some point
it leads into two things. It leads into two things. One is. Did anyone see Bernanke on 60 Minutes?
No.
No.
I didn't see that.
Ooh.
Awesome.
We didn't do our homework.
Awesome, 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 and more awesome. And then second, I know that you saw it because we spoke about it, the article about the Chinese Fed Treasury Secretary saying, I'm not so sure about American treasuries because they're devaluing the value of them.
Well...
To which Obama said, we'll pay you dollar for dollar back. And they were like, but it's
going
to
be...
Dollar
for
dollar!
That's the point. Hello, how are you?
In the chart that I saw with that article, there was the flow, whatever it's called, but the basic amount of dollars in circulation. And it's just like in the middle of this graph, there's this up and down... You know, spiky little tiny things, and then it just shoots straight up, like almost in a straight line, which is just a disaster. And then on 60 Minutes, Bernanke said, "The big mistake was they had a contraction in the 1929s of their financial policy, of the Fed's money policy, and as a result, it exacerbated the." They turned it into a Great Depression. That was his take on it. Mm. And so, how is he? How is he handling it now? And Bernanke said, well, all these banks have accounts with the Fed, and we are just increasing their balances. We just go into the computer and say they have more money.
Wow. Did I say something about virtual in the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, this is the time when you get your gold star.
The dollars that they, when those dollars are called in, they cut to a shot of the New York Fed, and it's, there's these robots that take these, like, I think $300 million
boxes of money.
They're blocks. What are those pallets? The wood things
with
shrink wrap wood. Like, there's $100 bills with, they're like saran wrapped to this thing, and these robots like move them around, and they're just printing. Whenever that money is actually going to be called on, they'll print it up and send it out.
Wow.
And he even said it's not exactly the same as printing money. But it's akin to printing money.
This is why those guys need some money. Now I understand why you need a $6 million bonus, because it's not really worth that much.
Well, they're going
to. That's why.
They have to. It's been said that they have to.
My $3,000 in taxes is worth a lot.
Yeah, it is to us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. When inflation comes on, it's going to come on hard and fast, is pretty much what people are telling me, and it's true. Now, the way Bernanke explained it was.
Fires with, greenbacks.
It's going to be. What's that country?
It'll keep us warm.
Yeah.
What's that horrible country, that situation in that country that's horrible where, like...
Dubai?
Yeah, no, the one where they had to come up with, like, $1 trillion bill.
The
inflation was, like, 18% a week or something like that.
It collapsed to such a degree that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, this is another country, but there was a country...
Was that Central America or is that in Africa? Because I think it's happened in a couple of places.
Yeah, I think the one I'm talking about happened in Africa where, like...
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what...
The inflation rate was on a weekly basis of 18% or something stupid like that. And they had to come up with these bills that represented a huge amount of singles.
I'll see if I can find it. By the way, the press secretary is Robert Gibbs.
Robert Gibbs. Yes.
Right. Joe Gibbs was the Redskins guy.
It's not Andy Gibbs who...
It's not the brothers Gibbs.
What's the name of that band?
The
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees, yeah. That's what I thought.
I'm glad we got that in here. Yeah.
The one thing that Bernanke said was that as these loans come due, or as the banks pay them back, the Treasury will just hold the dollars. So he made it sound like they'll contain the problem. But most people said that there is no containing it. It creates when you contract those dollars back in, it's higher interest rates and there's more demand for less dollars, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I highly recommend.
Oh, it's Zimbabwe.
It was Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Yeah.
I'm sitting here with my computer this week looking things up.
Finally.
It works.
Works for me.
Do you want to just rip on Chris Dodd for a second?
Go for it.
Yeah.
He had, like, Countrywide loans, right?
Right.
Didn't he have, like...
He had a sweetheart deal with Countrywide.
Him and Barney Frank are the poster boys for pushing subprime loans in a way of social engineering, as we discussed when Damaris was...
Which also went haywire.
Yes.
But again, I can't stick that... that's not solely his responsibility. Again, that's greed gone wild.
And lack of judgment. Complete lack of judgment.
Part of many, many people.
Yeah.
And, of course, he is the... largest Obama is actually the largest recipient of AIG funds.
Yeah, but he's not doing too shabby.
Then, and I'm trying to remember the order, Obama, then Biden, then Dodd, then Hillary Clinton, Giuliani's on that list. I mean,
who are they?
On both sides of the fence, very, very effectively. They spent close to $72 million over the last 6 years lobbying.
Lobbying.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That's why lobbying is out the window.
Of course, until...
Sort of.
Tell that to the people on K Street.
K Street hasn't gone anywhere.
All right, so we're at the midway point.
We should totally go on a field trip to D.C. one day.
I would love to.
I'd get you guys in places.
That would be awesome.
I would love that.
I was wondering if you could get us Eric Cantor on the show.
Probably.
Oh, my God. First of all...
Let's see how excited the left listening public is on that one.
Wow, great.
I would love to talk to that guy.
Well, we get to get him to reveal his plans and strategies so we can thwart him.
He was on Meet the Press on Sunday.
Okay.
And I never wanted to throw something at the screen of a television
He's being groomed by your good friend Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, he was...
Who is going to run for president?
Frustrating to say frustrating is an understatement. I was so infuriated by what he was saying. And the fact that when they count, when he was cornered on an issue like, well, why is all of a sudden the spending bad when there were record run-ups when you guys had control of the Congress and the White House? And he was like, he did that whole like, well, there's blame to go around, but if you just want to talk about blame, you know, and I was just like, I want to strangle
Greece.
You, dude.
Greece, just Greece.
I want to strangle you. And then I remember you saying that I supposedly look like him, and then I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, no!
I don't want to look like Eric Cantor.
Don't do that. You don't really, just a little bit. You resemble him.
See, this is why we're on the radio.
His bony chin and fucked up nose.
No,
he's
an annoying man.
It's just the hair, you know, the glasses.
Right, oh.
The slenderness.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Thank you.
That stuff.
virtual.
There's that word again.
Let's get into some. We're at the midway point in the show. Let's get into some listener feedback. So
Great. This
you guys are gonna love. The show.
Uh-oh.
The show posts on Podomatic.
Wait, I want to know the name of the people or the.
There are names.
Pseudonym of the people who said these
names for you. The show posts on Podomatic on Saturday afternoon, and I think on Sunday, Alan Smithy returns.
Alan Smithy returns. You know,
hi, Alan.
Writing it as Alan.
And
Smithy.
I've determined that
number one,
he must know one of us, that he's not using the name because he doesn't want to take credit. It's just he doesn't want one of us to know that we know him.
Who could it be?
I don't know. That's my favorite part.
Excellent.
So, Alan Smithy
had... He'll reveal himself eventually by what he says. Or she.
It was great. It was awesome. Alan Smithy had this great... It was some really good criticism, I must admit. Like, I thought it was pretty cool. But it seems like Alan Smithy just wants to, you know... If we go right, he'll say left. If we go black, he'll say white. Like, that just seems to be the thrust of his... But it's great. I mean, I was like, cool, we got another comment. Oh, it's Alan Smithy. Oh, he just tore by the show again.
So what did he say?
What did he say? he mocked me for claiming that I'm left just because I want to build bridges.
That's mockable.
He said, talk about virtual money... to those old folks who have just lost their retirement funds.
Yeah. True that.
It's not so much that she's advocating it, Alan.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Well, the reality, too, is that...
And I guess I wasn't really talking about that so much
exactly,
as the trillions of dollars moving around on the higher level.
Yeah, there are two things that are going on.
It's a little bit different.
When the government decides to spend $3 trillion and then print $4 trillion.
Because I just lost half my retirement.
Exactly.
That's not... I mean, in a way, it's virtual because I've never seen it really in my hands, but I know what he's talking about.
Me too. And by all accounts, not only did I lose principal, but having been in the market for 10 years, it should have doubled. And now I'm like down 30 or 40% down on the principal. So we're seeing the knot, and that I think part of the problem, which is that on a an everyday human level, it's not virtual money, it's actual real money.
For 95% of the population, it's real.
But when you get
But the tier that we're talking about is dealing in a realm that is so unreal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That.
By the way, getting into the unreal thing, I think that, just to get back to Bernanke, I think that Bernanke actually did. He gave an interview and made his moves this week. I'm trying to figure out whether Bernanke and the Obama team had planned to do this high profile week way in advance of knowing AIG was going to break, or because they knew AIG was going to break.
Good question.
I don't know enough about the president's advance schedule.
That's an interesting question. We can only sort of guess.
Because things can't change on a dime with the presidential schedule, especially with a flight out to Long Beach Airport.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
planned well in advance.
That's got massive logistics.
The thing about Obama was the last time he made a bold move to shore up whatever, there was another thing that overshadowed.
Right.
There was another event that overshadowed what his intended purpose of his PR blitz was.
Because it seems to me like, I mean, if we keep on this point for a moment, I mean, I think that the point of coming here was to sort of begin to rally the country.
I think it was that.
And so, it was just an unforeseen incident. Or the reaction.
Or they knew, and they just... I mean, I think it's great that he went straight into it.
Because as we said earlier, there have been other scandalizing bonuses that have been, racked our minds for like a week or two until we're shocked by something else.
Right.
I think at this point, it's just more like, wow.
Yeah, there's one name you can add to the list of people running for president in 2012, and that's Barack Obama. Because California is about 55 electoral votes.
Yeah.
And he's started. If Sarah Palin can be doing her thing and Newt Gingrich can be doing his thing.
Speaking of Sarah,
Barack Obama.
He's making sure that this side of the country still knows
he's still here. It is a point to rally the country.
He went
straight to Orange County. I thought it was brave of him to go to Costa Mesa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Tonight Show. He didn't do Letterman. He did the Tonight Show, the one with the bigger ratings.
Right.
You know, I can drink a beer.
Blander, milder host.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a town meeting instead of some kind of like, you know, political event sort of thing.
Some
I mean, it was, but yeah.
But I did find it interesting that they both came out. But the thing about I'm reading into this, but I believe it wholeheartedly. Bernanke's looking at the politics of a bailout and the politics of more stimulus and said, no one can stop me. And no one pays attention to me. The man on the street doesn't pay attention, and they don't know what I'm doing. When I buy something from Fannie and Freddie, I buy something from the government. They don't understand because it's all the government. I'm independent, and I am going to single-handedly, through pumping dollars into this country, get this going. And part of it is there's no securitization. So he's buying securities and putting cash in his place so that hopefully they can start securitizing loans.
Right.
Like it's part of his thing. And then he's putting more money into the economy. $1 trillion would never have passed Congress after 760
trillion. That's the whole point of the Fed.
Yeah.
Is to be able to bypass the legislature.
But when I saw his interview, I said, this guy's looking around. He said, either I can't trust that anything will get passed this Congress and this White House, or I know they can't. People are ready to go to death threat people
or,
getting bonuses.
Or what they're passing is not enough.
Well, exactly.
And it's not going to happen fast enough. And so he's got to do these short-term stimulus packages of his own.
Which is why I found when he said, this is what went wrong in the Depression, very significant.
Right.
And this is why we're doing what we're doing now, very significant, because he was always known as a guy who knew a lot. Him and Paulson knew a lot about the Depression. Paulson was still stuck in his ideology, didn't realize how bad it was. But Bernanke was like, look, in this interview, I will explain to you that I did study this, and this is basically what we know from the Depression, and this is why I'm doing what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said to someone I work with this week, and then the next guy, 30, 40, 50 years from now, is going to go, and this is what they did wrong in 2009.
Right. Well, the problem is there's so many factors that go into it. And we're comparing something, you know, from the early part of the century to this part of our century, and,
right.
you know, everything is totally, and we're talking about, you know, trillions versus millions.
Yeah, or billions.
So,
you know, might have been billions.
Yeah, maybe billions. But still, I mean, yeah, very different scenarios.
And speaking of billions, and Sarah Palin,
yes,
she turned down 55% of her stimulus money, but she said at the same time, talking out of both sides of her mouth, that if, you know, there was objection, you know, she might consider it.
All these Republican governors sicken me.
I know. Yeah.
They absolutely sicken me with turning down stimulus money.
I just feel like they're saying that now and they're going to take it later on.
Because their constituents will come back.
The legislature can override them.
Yeah, the legislature can.
Because they need the money.
But it really bothers the crap out of me that
the scoring
that purity test that has already started from the right side of the primary electorate on the Republican side. It really bothers me that that's what... that whole mindset, that whole...
Yeah, but...
It's not pure. It's not
No,
pure.
It's posturing.
It's
you're right.
It's complete posturing.
Yeah.
Because if they say it and they're...
That's politics.
And people override them, they can always say, I told you.
Yes.
And if not, they can always go back and do the other thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, it's politics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's frustrating. But
I mean, the one thing I heard this week, and I might have mentioned it last week, I'm not sure if it was this week, McCain has got a whole bunch of economists around him. He's going to actually present an alternative plan.
God.
Now,
I can't stand him. He's starting to... I used to respect this man, but I lose respect every time I hear about his thinking and the way that he...
I wonder what his plan's going to be.
Yeah. This is my thing. What if his plan is Clintonism? What if his plan is Clintonism?
I would say no way.
He's
to
the
that.
Only guy who can get to it.
Yeah. I don't think he would... I mean, I don't think he would do that on purpose. I don't think he would let that happen.
Whatever
this
thing is,
going to
pass muster with his party.
Yeah,
so, presumably.
I think McCain is going out his own man,
a maverick.
Yes, I know.
Well, this is how we could see.
Yeah.
When this comes out,
I'm really curious to see what he.
If it's independent thought, okay, I'll give him kudos because he really is not thinking about the future of his own political career. But
he's not.
Well, I don't know that yet.
Obama gave him 2010 by taking the governor of Arizona and putting her in his cabinet. He gave that seat to McCain. There's a strong chance that I can't remember her name. Napolitano, I think, would have run and won and would have beat him. I mean, he definitely hooked him up. A gentleman's, you know, handshake. Huh. Hi, kitty. The cat's here.
Why did they get Blagojevich for that?
Excellent.
I feel like I keep going back to that because I always feel like the guy just sort of did a more vulgar version of everything that everybody else does already.
Oh, I agree.
You know.
I agree. And there possibly was no actual verbal agreement from Obama. I think that when you look at Obama's choices on cabinet and everything, they were very shrewdly chosen for politics as well as for substantial reasons.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I saw John Kerry in some foreign country, and I actually thought Secretary of State would have been a great role for him. He actually, that wooden delivery that he has actually works in the Secretary of State role.
It does.
It's true.
And I felt really bad.
Got a little edge still.
Yeah, Hillary's still got her edge, and I'm just still waiting for this dynamism to pop out of Hillary Clinton, and it's more workman style than it is flash. All right, let me get you some more feedback, because there are a couple of topics I want to touch on before we go. So, Alan Smithy writes his review of the show, basically saying, good job with being a parody. Again, that was
a parody.
I had a big laugh, blah, blah, blah. And then Jeff... So I'm ready, prepared to write back. And then Jeff, a listener to the show, comments and says, you know, you're not being helpful and you're doing the parody thing again. That's so, you know, tired, you know. And he does this sort of defense of us, but then offers a point-by-point critique.
Because we're laughing about the absurdity of the situation that we're in.
Well,
I'm sorry. I do have to laugh right now.
I love... This is my thing. I don't mind that Alan Smithy... He's a fan of the show.
He's subscribed
to the show. So I'm like, oh, even if he hates it... Like,
so yeah. Weird. Excellent. Alan, you're weird.
But and if I've worked with you
all
in the past...
You.
Yeah, you know, sorry.
But whoever all of you are.
So then someone did a point-by-point analysis of how we interrupt each other and lose our train of thought.
Okay, but that's, you know, part of what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. So, no, this week I've noticed that we haven't overridden each other as much. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just know each other so well, we complete each other's sentences.
Yeah. It's exciting to do that.
But it was really, he said you should offer some constructive criticism to Alan Smithy, and then he listed all these points where we could be better, and pointed to shows in the past where we did things right or wrong. And he's listened to shows, and I thought that was really cool. Of course, the one with Damaris is... You know, the top rated. She's the Super Bowl show of the so far.
Go, Mom!
But we're just average Joes trying to figure it out.
We're decidedly not Beltway, unbeltway.
I got out of there, man.
But then Alan
I tried not
got,
to be.
Alan Smithy sent another comment saying, you know, nice tedious analysis to Jeff, and then someone, and he said, why are you making fun of my name? And then someone else chimed in and said, I just Googled Alan Smithy, that's really funny. And
then so people are starting to realize.
Crazy
so there
were
like four
together.
Comments going on. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I was going to jump in and say thanks for the comments and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, no, let them do their thing. But they all get a shout out. It's reinforcing, you know, bad behavior. If you comment, most likely we'll mention you on the show, for better or for worse.
Okay, John, Alan Smithy, who else?
Jeff.
Smithy and another person. I can't remember his name.
Okay, you can't diss the other person. Have to mention them.
Oh, can you go to Podomatic real fast?
Okay.
And look up What's Left Podcast. So that was our feedback, and I thought we've already addressed most of it, like, before we got to the feedback
thing. We could be more structured and...
I think we gave the feedback too much time.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Ooh, damn!
All right, so I know no one watched it. Did anyone see Dick Cheney on State of the Nation, CNN?
No.
Nope.
I read the transcript. I could not... I don't like his delivery.
Let me tell you
it's
something.
Like a reanimated corpse.
As I mentioned to you prior to this, the thing that's profound about Dick Cheney is he sits there and challenges you to not believe him.
Yeah.
He challenges you to not believe him in life or death circumstances. You, the American public, you are elected officials. I say that Barack Obama is making us less secure. I say that torture has saved you from things you don't want to know about, but it's still classified. But it, you don't really, it would have been bad if we didn't.
You know, he's probably right. I think that, you know, we can pussyfoot around the issue. I think torture's always been a part of what
I'm sure it still is, by the way.
And it probably still is. He didn't say he was going to stop torture. He said he was going to close Guantanamo.
Yeah, I know.
So there's a difference.
He said he stopped waterboarding.
Well, waterboarding is, you know.
I wonder if the way around that is some other fluid boarding. You know, like colored waterboarding.
Waterbed boarding.
Oh, no. There are many ways to torture.
Could you imagine that waterbed boarding?
We're going to zip you inside of a waterbed and shake you up.
Well, have you guys seen the Will Ferrell Goodbye to the Nation?
No.
I can't remember what it's called. But
You're Welcome America or something like that.
Yeah, You're Welcome America. And there's one little piece of that where he said, I tried waterboarding and I thought it was fun and relaxing.
God.
I can't find it. Can you find it?
Yeah, sure. Hold on a second.
I don't know if you can do two things at once while you're holding
it. You know what the problem is? Is that they have when you search on Podomatic, it goes to episode keywords and not to podcast.
The title?
So click on podcast.
But the point that Cheney was making was that we were less safe now because Obama is treating this like an isolated situation instead of a war situation.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I
this meaning what?
The point.
Terrorism. The threat of terrorism.
As in, how can you even say it's being treated as an isolated situation?
See,
what isolated situation are we looking at? Afghanistan.
We're now in an era where we are not taking this threat seriously enough.
Oh, good Lord! I'll freaking punch the wall in a second here.
Okay, Ace was the one who
Ace Frehley?
No, it was Ace, Alan Smithy, and Jeff.
Ace, shout out to Ace.
So, it's pretty funny. Anyway, I personally couldn't see the politics in what is the point for Dick Cheney's personal? Like,
well,
what is the point
of him
coming out?
You know, he may be another right wing jab. Just
for what? It's too early. It's too early to take the shot like that.
Well, I don't know why you say that. I mean, you're contradicting yourself. You've talked about...
He's a true believer.
...already trying to run for the presidency in 2012 and attacking this regime. I mean, why not bring this freak out and let him do his thing?
No,
he's a surrogate for Republican candidate?
No,
I honestly think
he's a true believer.
It's just the party...
I don't see the point of Dick Cheney. I don't see the function for the party at all. I don't see the point for Dick Cheney at all. Other than he is like everybody else and is concerned about his legacy.
I think this is what he believes. I think it's almost like delusion, you know? And he's got this fixed belief that, you know, about terrorism and the way we're dealing with it in the world, and that's exactly how he convinced the Bush administration to do all they did, and he still believes it just as hard. And I honestly don't necessarily think that this has anything to do with the Republican Party or has anything to do with anyone other than Cheney himself. And I think media likes to get him on, because then we talk about it.
Oh.
Because he is so robotically to the right on all this, you just can't believe this guy's human.
Well, yeah,
right?
Honestly,
but I think it's coming from him more than anything. I don't know if there's, you know, an operation going. No.
Who knows? I mean, but do you think someone of that significance, that stature, could operate in a vacuum in that way? I don't know.
Well, I think...
I do appreciate the fact that George did have the grace to say when he was in Canada... Which, you know,
I won't criticize him.
He deserves my silence.
Meanwhile, it's on all of the commercial talk shows on cable networks. It is like a feature on how much Obama is just bashing the policies of his predecessor, and like George W. is like, nope. As an ex-president, I understand what it's like, so I'm not going to join the chorus of people against him. Meanwhile, Obama's just pissing on the presidency of 43, which is he's supposed to do to a certain extent, but there's
right.
a little less graciousness in it.
Well, it's like that old Egyptian practice in ancient Egypt where they would, you know, chisel the name and the nose off of the statue.
All right.
So this one's going for the whole head or something.
Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for AIG... Cheney's interview would have had a lot of long, would have had legs. Yeah. It would have had its intended impact to have a debate on terrorism, because let's face it, we're not. That is so far from everybody's mind right now.
Well, it's and that's what's so funny. I mean, it's like last week it was on our mind. You know what I mean? It's so funny how fast this stuff is changing. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and we haven't talked about healthcare in like 10 days.
Right.
You know?
Eternity.
Right.
I mean, it's so wild. And then like, what's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, it's it just blows my mind how fast this stuff is moving and how huge these issues are. You know?
Oh, yeah. They're immense. They're gigantic. They are
global, mondo, crashing, and then the next day we forget about them.
Well, they're changing. They're doing so much that each day.
Right.
Are they? And some are, and some aren't.
They're proposing a lot of stuff.
They're proposing a lot of stuff.
I mean, the thing about it is that when you look at the.
Are the events changing that swiftly? I mean, in some instances they are, in some instances nothing's changed.
I think the focus.
Yeah.
Is changing
the
that swiftly, not necessarily the actual. You know.
Yeah.
Issues.
The unfolding, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the intention of what they want to do is being...
is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That part is gigantic.
So, I mean, were you amused by Bush's appearance in Canada as a counterpoint to Obama's appearance in Canada?
I did not see or hear anything. I just read the blurb that he got quote of the day.
He was
political.
He was just, even though he was in a very conservative part of Canada, he was booed. There were people throwing shoes at refugees. It was pretty extreme.
They had a shoe throwing thing outside of it, like a kind of a carnival,
right?
Like,
with a figure in effigy. It's pretty good.
The guy who threw shoes, by the way, got it threw his
three
shoes. It's 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as Bush said, you know, I'll let the Iraqis handle that.
They had to. I think that
there's nothing else that could be done.
There's nothing. You know, they couldn't let him walk.
The it wouldn't be acceptable, and 6 months wouldn't have been sufficient.
No, a slap on the wrist wouldn't have been sufficient.
I mean, despite our disgust with his policies, he's still the president of his country.
Yeah,
and you know, it's inappropriate.
I had a super rare experience to be able to go into Ronald Reagan's personal office at the library up in Simi Valley before he died, before I think he was senile, and it was just stunning.
Did you eat Jelly Bellies?
No. He wasn't there. I didn't meet him. But I think it was his advanced person who had been with the Reagans for years and years and years allowed me to see it. We had done some video work with them, so she got me in. And she's like, this is where he comes. Like, he comes here to do his stuff. And many times foreign dignitaries when they're in town, they come by. Mm-hmm. It's courtesy. And there's a paper that he writes on. It has his name on it and like all the stuff. And it wasn't just... It didn't look like a museum. It was like something that he actually used. And for a second, the scope of the fact that someone became president, regardless of who they are and what they did, but they decided that they should run for office, or they were convinced that they should run for office, then they did. They successfully did it and then had this power, you know, and responsibility. It just dawned on me how gigantic that
the
is.
The magnitude of that office is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. And even if you just have it for one term, it's still an amazing feat for a human being.
Absolutely.
To get there. I mean...
Well, this is why, you know, you're reminding me. Well, you know, but I was saying, I think that in this instance, I think Obama's going to be shaped by... You know, he won't be. I don't think he'll be crushed by the weight that's on his shoulders, and it's a lot of weight.
Right.
It's more weight, I think, than there was 6 months ago, because it's metastasizing in a way.
Yes.
I think the man, if he can handle the lifting, he'll find his way. He'll find his strength.
Obama eventually has to have a balance sheet of results. Right now, what you guys are talking about is it's too early to have those results. Mm-hmm. So don't.
Yeah, I mean, in 8 weeks, I think it's kind of insane to start talking about that. You can't talk about legacy at the beginning of a term.
I'm just thinking more again in terms of 2010. At 2010, as we approach that election, the results are going to be coming in,
yeah.
And that's where he has to be judged on it. So all this ability to convince us of, you know, hey, he said the buck stops with me on AIG. You know,
right.
It was the greatest way to diffuse the fact that he knew and his team systematically, you know, did the perfect leak to get it in, out there.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, and that's the greatest answer to that political question now. But there will be a point where the people who are calling in death threats want to see some results.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not saying he needs to have them now, but there, these things that he's doing had better.
Well, I mean, that's understood. That's understood.
Result.
I mean, he ran on that. We know that that pressure's there.
And he knows that too.
And he knows it very well. It's hanging over his head in a massive way that we can't even imagine.
Right.
And I hope that he can actually produce some of those results. You know, yeah. I mean, he's started a lot of projects, let's call right. them, and, you know, they won't all come to fruition exactly as they've been set out at this point. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
But if he can get, you know, 50% of what he's gotten started in the last 8 weeks
right.
really going, we'll be a yeah. lot better off.
There's a lot of talk right now on Political Wire. There's a lot of talk about the Democrats and their situation. They are polling mm-hmm. 40 points under him or 35 points under him, and the only
difference.
Thing worse than them are Republicans. And
in a way, I mean, but look at what we're saying here. I mean, people are right now despise politicians in general.
Right.
And hold them responsible because, frankly, that's their job.
Right.
They're supposed to be our watchdogs. They're supposed to be our eyes and ears in the running of this country.
Right.
And when that fails, what are we
they're
supposed
the ones
to do?
To blame.
They are indeed the ones to blame.
I agree.
So I'm not surprised by that.
But what they are saying is that some of Obama's results will be changed by the fact that Democrats at a certain point have to cut from him to do what's right to win all politics are local.
Right.
And so they're just waiting to see it happen. And the article, it was a blurb from Stuart Rothenberg's
unless these agendas align. And they might.
They align.
If he succeeds, yes, then they'll.
What they're saying is, what you'll hear the party say is, he's a super popular president. We're all on the same side. We're all doing what's right for the American people. What they feel is like internally, some of them are going to have to start cutting. And they felt that in healthcare, all you're really going to get out of Congress are incremental changes.
Mm. Oh yeah, well that's all you can do with healthcare.
I mean, he's proposing a huge overhaul.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't realize, and this is something that I'm for in the stimulus bill, is $18 billion for onlining, digitizing health records.
Oh, we talked about that.
I didn't know we actually talked about that particular
yeah.
aspect of
uh-huh.
it. That, I think,
yeah.
I was like, all right.
Let's not repeat ourselves or Alan Smithy might get upset.
Well, no, the point about that is that I was like, all right.
Might have been before he was listening.
He might have been, yeah.
There are some forward
Let
thoughts.
Me do a recap, Alan.
I don't want to torment him. He's a witty, sarcastic.
We're not tormenting. We're having fun.
But we talked about that in terms of the jobs that it could create,
right.
Because there's definitely a lot of IT jobs, and
yeah.
you know, I mean, managerial positions that could be turned over from the paper pushers to, you know, making the electronic health record
right.
globalized.
And it's something that pays off as it goes forward.
Mm-hmm.
It pays
yeah.
dividends down the road.
Yeah.
So.
But that right there is going to be a big job.
I know.
We have so many
Monumental.
Different electronic medical records all over the place. I mean, even in just the little places I work with like 4 electronic health records right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And try to string all those together. You know, all the different programs and fields you
right.
have to put together.
I can imagine. I mean, for example,
to merge
weird,
them all.
Weird example, but I used to get emails and faxes from a medical record company
mm-hmm.
because they had the wrong number, but somebody else needed this stuff.
Yeah.
And I
don't
I'm like, and it kept happening with frequency, and I kept calling them because I was like, this would be really
confidential information.
I'm not reading this. It's not my business. You need to know this is coming to the wrong place. Please don't send this here. It happened about 10 times.
And you called them about 10 times?
I called them
and
every time.
The same high school person said,
girl who couldn't string, I hate to say it, couldn't string about 5
yeah,
words.
Yeah, I've had the same phone call conversations
yeah.
with similar people.
I'm like, people need to have this, and I'm not good. I can't do anything with it.
You know.
So this is an interesting situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's worth it, and
yeah.
it's funny how you'd think, wow, does that take $18 billion? But that's probably not going to be enough.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Actually, my first thought was that it can't be enough.
Yeah. that would be enough to start and maybe get a couple states on board.
Right.
And I don't even know how they're going to do it. I mean,
yeah.
are they going to create like a system like the VA, which is like, you know, a similar system throughout the nation, but you've got little kind of regional servers that you can get certain information off of it. I don't know how they're going to string it up nationally, but that's a little technical.
No.
That's
what...
And it's, you know, health is fundamental to the society.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
there's this, like, forget about the fact that our economy's grown addicted to a credit card, giving you all this money, taking that debt, collateralizing it, and then giving her the same amount of money, taking that debt, collateralizing it, and giving it to me. Like, forget that we got addicted to that. There's a huge component of economic success in getting healthcare costs in line or a more efficient system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the stimulus from incremental reform is huge.
And the moral aspect.
Of like not letting people die?
Well, not letting people die, but not having people be so freaking frustrated with their healthcare.
Right.
You know, and comparing them to Germany and the UK and whatnot, that seems so much better.
Right. There's a guy, if you don't mind, there's a guy in New York that was on, I hated to do it, but I watched a bit of Mike Huckabee's show.
Oh.
On Fox News Network.
Mm. Wow.
He had a doctor in New York that had worked with a clinic or for a clinic, and he decided that for $79 a month he would provide.
Oh yeah, that guy's
healthcare.
Really famous now.
And it would do. He would perform
the subscription healthcare.
It would be all the services that the clinic rendered for $79 a month, which is at least 1/4, if not more, of what you'd pay if you had COBRA benefits, and you just walk in.
Oh
off the
God.
Street.
Right.
Apparently the state of New York sued him and said he couldn't charge that little for some reason or something like
that.
Well,
they said that he was acting as an insurance company.
Yes.
And he was unfair competition to insurance companies.
Right.
Because he was charging so much less.
Right.
Than what an insurance premium is.
But I thought to
and
myself.
And he said that he was not an insurance company. He wasn't trying to be. He's not insuring people so they can go to a hospital and be seen. Mm-hmm. It's only to come to his clinic. But that was the whole problem. And so it's like you can't even create affordable health care. Nobody will let you.
I just thought,
you know?
I was going to ask you about that. Was that like Mike Huckabee cherry-picking something that's not a practical solution? Or is that actually something
that... No, that's actually a practical solution, and that is the power of the insurance company lobby. Yeah, that's part of the power of the insurance company. That's not so much the lobby. The lobby is what you see in terms of in the legislature. But yeah, that's true, and it's sad, and there are a lot of ways that you know, doctors and healthcare entities are trying to make the situation better and not being allowed to because of stupid rules like that.
Okay, so now let me just ask you, I don't know if you know the full details, but the one thing that struck me was this is not an insurance policy. So if catastrophic something happens, you're going to county in that world, right? You're paying $79.
Well, unless you have insurance.
Right, but if you don't.
Right, but so if you don't, you're going to county, right?
You pay $79 a month to this guy. I have this weird lump. It takes 6 months to find out. It's something really horrible.
Right.
Then I'm going to county.
Right.
All right.
Right. And you know, that could be a really horrible situation because you've got some neck mask growing out of your...
Yeah.
You know, mask growing out of your neck. Then that guy can't help you, and you do need to get better care.
Right.
But county's good care, too. It's just you got to wait a long time to get it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how if that were to spread, it's not...
It doesn't answer all of the it doesn't answer all the issues, and it sure doesn't answer the pharmacy issues,
right?
Which is huge,
right?
Yeah, and that's where a lot of people are going down right now. But it's really the big ticket items that are the problem. I mean, I think you've got concierge medicine happening a lot over here in California, which is kind of similar to what this guy is doing, except he's doing it for affordable prices. And here in California, concierge medicine is like $2,000 a year or something like that. So that's why it's not seen as so competitive to insurance company premiums. Because it's
my concierge
skyrocketingly ahead of what you'd pay for insurance.
Yeah, it was $180.
Right.
A month.
So insurance companies are like, good, we can still, you know, people still want to come to us, not that.
Mm-hmm.
But that, because that went the other direction, that was the problem with that. Right.
Yeah, I took forever when I moved out here to find a doctor or a dentist I was comfortable with. I found this guy, and, you know, whenever my insurance, he accepted the insurance I had, I would go to him over the course of like 10 years. And then. He calls, you know, his people call me up, sends me a letter, his people call me up, and they're like, at the end of this year, he's moving up to the second floor or the third floor of the building, opening up his own practice, it's concierge. If you want to remain his patient, it's $180 a month. And you can just give us a credit card and we'll charge it. And what you get is his cell phone number and no longer than a 20-minute wait and blah, 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 like... And I was like, no, I mean, I don't get sick that much to need to go to pay that payment. But yeah, and they called it a concierge practice.
Mm-hmm.
He had something like 2,500 patients, and he was only taking 600 for concierge.
Right. And I've got a catchment of like 20,000.
Wow. He was a great doctor. But he timed it like whatever that stupid. If the insurance company is going to pay him $18 or $35 mm-hmm. on an $80 bill, he timed it so that it was cost effective for him. He was in the room. He would entertain any question you had. He went through everything. He knew the health plans. He's like, oh, you get pharmaceutical? Let's try this medicine.
Right.
See you. Call me next week. Gone. Mm-hmm. You know. But one time I had to be like, my white blood cell count's low, doc.
Yeah. And it's tiring working that way as a doctor. I mean, you know, you're just going in and out and in and out. And you never feel like you really finish with a patient. And you certainly don't finish with yourself. No. You know, you're just exhausted the whole day.
Assistants were trained in the art of folder.
In and out.
Yeah, everything mm-hmm. that had to be done, lined up, ready to go, bing.
That's how you make money.
She'll wrap this for you. If he would walk out, they would walk in, and he would just pull the folder out of the next guy's room mm-hmm. and go in there.
Yep, that's how you make money.
But that was how he did it, because I remember seeing a bill, and it was a $75 visit, and I think they paid him $18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to make $18 every 5 minutes. Right. And that's how he treated it.
You should see, like, dermatologists literally will look at, from the door, will look at your skin,
wow.
and that'll be it. That's the encounter, you know?
Insane.
10 seconds, maybe 20 seconds.
Okay.
And literally, like, okay, I'm going to give you Retin A and some benzoyl peroxide and, you know, topical antibiotics. See ya.
Wow. Right.
Next room, wow. you know? And they can do surgical procedures so fast. Dude, done.
Scary.
Good thing I didn't explore.
Don't you want that kind of medicine?
All right, so it's a listener who had heard your mom asked if we could do Reagan, Carter, or FDR on steroids.
Because
your mom had said it would be like Hoover on steroids.
Oh, mom.
Wow.
Starting a precedent.
I think LBJ or FDR is still really... Although this week he's Reagan. This week he's freaking Reagan.
He's Reagan.
Out there,
yeah.
Nothing
Teflon. All the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. This week he's completely Reagan.
Reagan on steroids.
He's Reagan on steroids
Reagan,
this
which
week.
Is saying a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Us Jay Leno and town hall meeting and flying across country when AIG is hitting the fan.
Yeah.
Well, there it is. There's that
Reagan on steroids.
Relationship directly to the people, which mm-hmm. is what Reagan had.
He yep. went straight into it, too. I have to give them credit. Whether mm-hmm. they knew it was coming or not, whether it was planned or not.
Yeah, he took it on.
What else? You know, we do not want somebody that's going to dissemble at times like this.
Right, right.
Because this is an economic war, in a sense.
And that's what I was trying to say, that I think he was doing that to show, this is how tied up I am with this. I can't even make this work. So I'm there with you, public. I hate this. I'm just as mad as you are, but I still can't do anything about it. And I think he's garnering some sympathy with that.
I hope.
I think so.
I mean, the
debt. Otherwise, you would have seen his numbers drop when we didn't.
Well, you haven't seen the polling data on this yet.
Yeah, but
early next week.
Okay.
The thing that was killer, and Yahoo, the whoever it was, AP, knew that this was killer, and they put it as a focal point in the article, which was the article on the Rage about AIG. Someone in some middle part of the country said, I thought we elected Obama to stop this.
Uh-huh.
And when I read that, my heart skipped a beat. And they said, this is something the White House does not want to see or hear. And then they put that quote in there. And it was like, Ellie Mae, blah, blah, blah.
Ellie Mae Clampett.
Yeah,
exactly. Clampett.
But not true.
No, but it's true. We all feel that way. And I think Obama feels that way, too.
We have this question because we want to know who gave these instructions and what the chain was and how far up it goes.
Which is why I think Geithner is a cancer on this presidency. To borrow, was it Dean? Who said that? Ehrlichman said that to Nixon?
Oh, Jesus.
This Watergate's a cancer on the presidency.
Well, who do you want to take his job?
You know, I don't know.
And that's got to be thought about before he's removed.
Bernanke?
Because who the hell is going to want to take this on right now?
I heart Bernanke right now.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
As long as he keeps the little printing press together and under control.
And as long as he's right.
As the recovery starts happening and all of a sudden, you know, inflation goes berserk.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, well,
I'm happy for now.
Who do you put in Treasury?
That's what I mean.
That's the point.
Who the hell is he going to get in there? He can't exactly kick Geithner out until he's got somebody else.
They're saying June. So Boner, whatever his name is. From
Boner. You said Boner.
Yeah,
or Beavis and Butthead,
totally,
man.
Right?
he said you could start a clock counting down when they get rid of him.
Yeah, but that's what he said about Robert Gibbs too, and he's kind of pulling up. So
yeah, Gibbs actually, I've a newfound.
I
reserve the right to completely acknowledge. I thought he would be gone, but he's actually turned out to be pretty good.
You're standing the ring there, man.
Just gotta give him some moments to solidify.
You know, we missed it. It's old news, and we're over. But we never talked about Tim Russert versus what is it, John Kramer from?
Oh yeah.
No.
You're talking about
John
Stewart.
Stewart.
Oh, we talked about that.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it happened since last week.
Ran the clips where he contradicted what he was saying at that moment.
Yeah.
And of course, no, the new spin on that is that the chairman of NBC has slammed Stewart for saying it's easy to blame someone, but we stand by him. You know.
The significance is...
Now it's like, when did John Stewart become bad? And
John Stewart is the only guy out there who's willing to go back to the tape and show the world where people have lied right to their face. No other news organization is doing it.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, you've got a very clever, politically oriented entertainer, comic, ripping these people's masks off.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's doing it.
Yeah.
And he does tell it right to their faces.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is behind your back. Let's meet like men.
Mm-hmm.
You go on and give me your case, and then I'm going to refute it.
I'm just going to shred you.
And he got shredded. I mean, how do you come back from that? And that was the other thing. I can't remember this guy, the chairman's name, but he said he didn't think that Stewart's attack would have any effect on Kramer's viewers or on the show in general or on CNBC at all.
Because his viewers weren't watching the Jon Stewart show.
They weren't watching the Jon Stewart show.
This is the thing.
I think that's probably true.
Symbolically, they are implicit. CNBC is only anecdotally, but totally they're in there because when they did the thing on the meltdown, when public PBS Frontline did the documentary on the meltdown, they narrated it by, they started off with everybody is watching CNBC all day long.
Right.
And on Monday, it breaks on CNBC that they think that Bear Stearns is in trouble.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it builds so much that people from the company have to go on CNBC to defend the company. So they're in. These guys are in. And they said they started the week with $18 billion in reserve, and by Sunday they were sold for $2 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So the CNBC was and is definitely a part of the situation. But... That
giving them a lot of credit.
It always bothered me anyway. So,
yeah.
All right. Any so is Reagan or Carter? He's Reagan.
Yep.
And LBJ or FDR? I still think he's LBJ.
Between those two, I'd say FDR this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm torn.
Yeah.
But,
flipped into FDR this week.
I definitely agree with the
week.
Reagan thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's Teflon. This week he's Teflon.
Totally.
Right.
I think looking the nation square in the eye and being outraged 4 days after you found out is LBJ.
Huh, that's funny. Mm. I was thinking that's FDR.
Well, it's true. Well, everyone said he knew about Pearl Harbor. Just didn't know it was going to be as bad as it.
Right.
All right.
We should see.
All right, so we're going to now do the show religiously at 9 o'clock on Thursdays.
That is our new time.
That's our new time on Is Good Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it will always be available for podcast on Podomatic and on iTunes. Just make sure you search for What's Left Podcast, otherwise you won't find it.
Oh, okay.
We have a couple of bars of popularity on iTunes.
Woo!
We're getting there, guys.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's our four listeners.
And we have four comments.
I like your comments, and we need them.
I actually do appreciate it. So anyways, well, that's this week's show.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
And what do I do again? I kill this. And it says no.
Ciao.
It says that. There you go.
And you talk.